Welcome to Empire Building, the podcast where we talk about building big businesses and even bigger lives. I'm your co-host, Tiffany Fikes.
And I'm Seychelle Van Poole. And today we have a thought-provoking topic that's going to delve into good leaders ask great questions based on the teachings of the renowned leadership expert, John Maxwell. I'm so excited about this because, you know, in today's fast-paced world, we as leaders really need to go beyond just providing answers and really focus on asking the right questions. And Tiff, I don't know if you ever feel this way, but like sometimes a team member will call me like, oh, my boss, Seychelle. Does your team ever do that?
Oh, yeah. Why does that bother me so much?
It bothers me. It like, they're like, oh, and my boss, da 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 da. And I'm always like, ugh, like I kind of cringe when they say that. And, you know, I think I've done a little reflection on it for this episode. And I think to me, the word boss means giving someone orders, like telling them what to do, bossing them around, versus the word leader. When someone's like, oh, my leader, blah, 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 or my team lead, blah, 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 blah. Like to me, a leader really is about like empowering and engaging people or fostering critical thinking and growth. And so I don't know, I guess I've kind of concluded in my head, and I'd be curious about yours, like bosses have the answers, leaders ask the questions. Leaders teach people how to think and bosses tell people what to do. And so, you know, if you're listening to this and you are an intrapreneur in an organization, or maybe you're on the team, maybe it's a good thing for you to think about how you even address the person leading your organization, or if you're leading, how you want to be called, right?
We had somebody who came into our organization and she was like, I notice you never call yourself the boss. What do you want me to call you? And I thought that was like, such a perceptive question.
Yeah. You're like, queen. I would like for you to call me the queen.
Right. Your highness is what I prefer. But yeah, that boss word has such a negative connotation. And I think you hit it because it's we are bossy. Girls are bossy. And like, I don't think men necessarily have the same negative connotation.
No.
Bossing people around. That's like a negative
thing. Stop being so bossy. You get told that all the time as a kid if you're an assertive girl. Oh, that girl's so bossy. It's like, no, I'm just asking questions or I'm just trying to figure out an answer, like help lead because no one else is. But yeah, totally. Yeah.
And so, to your point, leader is the goal. Whether boss is a good word or a bad word, we'll let the listeners decide for themselves. But
yeah,
the leading is definitely what you want to do because as a leader, asking great questions is a tool and really one of your greatest tools, I think, in being a great leader because questions open up the world for the people that you're asking. So they encourage people to think. They allow you to see how people think. Mm-hmm. They reflect, they get to come up with their own solutions where when you just give orders or tell them how to do it, you're not actually letting them step into their greatness or finding the opportunity to find where you can help them grow. And so you may be just giving orders that people are following and they're not growing because of that. So
yeah,
I love questions.
I find sometimes too, when I'm doing too much answering, I will get to a point where I will ask a question to the team and like, it might be a tough thought provoking question, or it might be a like, you know, what do you think about this? Or what are your ideas for this? And I find that it's a really good reflection for me when I'm doing too much telling and answering, when I ask a question, that's a tough one. I'm met with people just staring at me. And I realized that I'm actually going to have to tell the team at that moment, no, like I'm not going to answer this for you guys. Like this one is one that I need your help with, or I'm asking for this. And it's always a reminder for me of like, wow, Seychelle, you're in a moment right now in your leadership that you're telling too much and you need to step it back because that's a symptom that just showed up in your meeting that even when you're really wanting their input, they're going to look to you for the answer first. And so it's always if you're getting that in your meetings and you're not sitting in the comfortable silence, like being aware that you've been answering too much, or at least for me, I'd been answering too much. That's kind of my clue of like, oh, hey, you got to tap it back and ask more questions.
Well, and when there's a quote unquote right answer, people want to get it right versus be creative and come up with ideas. Cause I think that's super intuitive of you to say, oh, when I ask questions and nobody's willing to throw out ideas or think creatively, it means that they believe there's a right answer because I perpetuated that culture.
Oh, yeah.
And so, like, always thinking, you know, questions help unlock creativity. And yes, there are some questions that there's a right or wrong answer to.
Yeah.
But when we live in an abundant mindset where there's an infinite number of solutions, that's how our businesses can grow and our people can grow and solutions can come out of things that we never imagined when we foster that.
Yeah.
You know, it helps with problem solving as well. And, you know, the culture can change when you allow and believe your people are bringing have something to bring to the conversation.
Ooh,
and
I love
questions
that.
Are what unlocks that for sure.
Yeah, I totally agree with that. You know, and I think the other thing that I like that's very top of mind for me is as a part of that, like one of the big significance of actively listening and using empathy as big components of that. Like I think about the anti-hero of empathy would be like Michael Scott, right, in The Office, and like how how just intensely he doesn't get it ever, right? And I remember watching the British version of it with Ricky Gervais just being like, oh, the whole time I was uncomfortable.
It's so uncomfortable.
So uncomfortable. And like I would, you know, garner to say that Steve Carell makes it a little bit more like playfully uncomfortable. But we've all worked with someone that is that way. And it's such a great reminder if you have some EQ and you have some self-awareness. You know, to read the room when you're asking questions, to watch what that response is, because to Tiffany's point, you can completely change the culture of your organization by doing that. And Maxwell gives us some different ways to do that. So we're going to go into those today.
Well, because that's the first thing. If you're like, oh my gosh, I don't even know what kind of questions to ask.
Yes.
Become a student of questions. Mm-hmm. And that's what we're going to tackle in the rest of the episode. And like, be like, I validate you right this moment. Like when I started on this journey of questions, I am not intuitively a question asker. I see a solution, I will give an answer very quickly. And so when people are like, well, you need to ask questions, I'm like, what?
What questions?
Like, that's the only question I have is what? What? Question mark? And so like, honing your questions can be a really valuable thing that you do. And that's where we're going to spend some time today.
Well, and I think it's okay to cheat with your questions too. Like you don't have to have the right questions or even the right answers, but I would venture to say you need to have a list of questions then that you can go to. And I know to amplify a couple women that I know do this, Kristen Cole, who I think is a really fierce, awesome businesswoman, and Diana Kokoska both would just on their phones keep a list of 10 or 20 questions that were their favorite go-tos. And I started doing that because I thought, oh my gosh, what a brilliant idea. So today we're going to actually give you a cheat code. We are literally in the show notes today going to give you like somewhere between 25 and 30 amazing questions that you can ask and you can cheat code and save them on your phone. But we're going to review some of these too to kind of help explain why they're helpful or, you know, situations where they've been really valuable for us. So we're going to go through those today, but we thought, you know, wow, how nice would it be to actually have all of these in one place that we can use them? So that's what you get today from us, which is really awesome.
Yeah. So I love John Maxwell. There's just like nothing that he writes that I don't just love. I love digging into what he teaches us about questions. And there's lots of other books about questions. I have a book. I think it's called Powerful Questions.
I love
that.
It's
a book of questions.
Perfect.
So, but Maxwell breaks down, he says there's three different types of questions to use for different situations. So I love that idea. And, you know, so let's jump into it. So there's three different types of questions. That is probing questions, strategic questions, and coaching questions.
Love that.
And they all have different times you would use them. So
I love that. And to me, probing is where we're going to start today because that to me is the first way to get to a real root of an issue. How many times have you had somebody come to you with a problem? But is it really the problem? Right? Is that really what we're needing to be discussing right now, or is that really actually, like, is that a symptom of a greater issue? And I think so often somebody comes to us, like Tiffany was saying, leaders often are problem solvers. That's how we got to a high level of success. It's because we can rapidly target issues, work through them effectively and quickly, and execute and move to the next one. And so you get to a certain level of success being able to problem solve at a really high level. And now all of a sudden you're having to teach your team how to dig, execute, and solve at a high level, which requires them to understand, like, is this problem you're bringing me really the problem? So to me, probing questions is really helping you dig to what is the actual problem that we need to solve? Because what you're bringing me could be a symptom. It could be the right answer, but it could also be a symptom. So the first thing when somebody comes to me with a problem is I'm going to say, okay, can you elaborate on that? Is always a great one. Or, Tiff.
Well, so the greatest thing about that question, or the value to me about that question, is you make assumptions about what people say.
Yeah.
Like when I say, my shirt is yellow, you may in your mind immediately think like this nice light yellow. And in reality, my shirt is this like bright fluorescent 80s yellow. And we're seeing two different pictures in our mind. And so like even the simple, can you elaborate on that, will get you to a better understanding of whatever the situation is. Mm-hmm. I was notorious for just assuming I knew what people meant by the words they said. And can you elaborate on that has helped me not mismatch expectations and really get to an understanding of what words people use mean different things to them.
Yes, totally. And I like to take notes when they're elaborating instead of just sitting there, because I know that if I'm taking notes, I'm having to actively listen instead of solve, is also helpful. So I am in interviews. I literally had an hour and a half meeting this Wednesday that I had to my whole role in the meeting was to listen and not solve the problem, but just be a listener, which when you're a problem solver is like, just tie me to the chair. So I literally took notes for an hour and a half, just typing literally everything that they said and processed what they were saying instead of trying to process for solutions. And it was so helpful. So some of these questions are really helpful with that. So some of the other ones they're bringing, they may have a decision or something they want to do. And you want to make sure they've thought it all the way through. So some probing questions you can ask on those would be, thanks for that idea of that solution. What other options have you considered? What if we did this differently? What would you do? To give them a way not just to have one answer, but maybe we need to look at it from three or four different ways. Another couple of ways you could respond to make sure they're thinking it all the way through could be, how do you think this decision will impact the team? Or how does this connect to our overall goals, so that you make sure that they're tying whatever action or big decision they want to make to the goals? A couple others would be if there's a problem right now, I love this one, to say, okay, what assumptions are you making in this situation right now? I love that one. And then you sit and zip your lips as the leader.
Yeah.
Well, that's one.
That is such a good question. And it's good to remember also when you're young in your question asking, it's just like when you talk to leads, like you ask the question and then whoever talks first loses.
Yeah.
So you are going to sit there.
Yes.
You are going to sit there until they answer and you're just going to stare at them and like, let it get weird.
Yeah.
Let it get weird.
It's okay even to say like, I'm not the one with the answer right now. So I'm going to sit here and let you process it until you're ready to answer. Like you can acknowledge the weirdness. I've even had on our team before. I'm like, I'm just going to sit here and be weird until y'all figure something out. So it's just going to be weird.
It's one of the hardest parts. I mean, like to me, number one, the hardest parts about questions was ask, like, what are they? What's the right one to ask? And then the second one is shutting up after you ask it and waiting for an answer.
Completely. And then we'll give you just a couple others on the probing that are fun ones to do. Like, what are the potential consequences or risks of this idea or decision? What lessons could we learn from this experience if they're coming to you with a mistake? I always love that one. And then I always love too, like, so what do you think the root cause of this issue really is? If you were to go figure out what the root cause is, what do you think that is? And so that's a really fun one too on probing to try to dig deeper into what it is.
Well, and I love these questions just for yourself too. And we'll talk about how to use questions for yourself, but like that's anything you're dealing with, just go through these probing questions with yourself too.
Totally.
Not just the people you're leading, but so the next category, strategic questions. So this is helping them to start thinking strategically about whatever is going on in the business mm-hmm. or, you know, in their lives. I mean, and that's the other great thing about these questions is a lot of them can be transferred over to your personal life or,
yes.
you know, your kids. We'll give you a lot of strategic, specifically business questions though. So, you know, things like what metrics and KPIs, which are key performance indicators, should we track to measure the success and impact of our strategies?
Ooh, like, that's
think
a good
about
one.
Mm-hmm. What are the things that we should be tracking?
Yeah.
Which is going to make them think about so many different parts yeah. of the goal.
Yeah.
You know, what are our long-term goals and how do our current actions align with them? That's a great question.
I love
question.
That one. Yeah.
Yeah. To get are we matching what we say? Mm-hmm. Like, are our actions matching what we say we want?
Mm-hmm.
How can we differentiate ourselves from competitors and create a unique value proposition for our customers?
I feel like every business right now should be asking that strategic question. How can we differentiate ourselves from our competitors and create a different unique value proposition? That literally, like, write that down. That should be every question right now. Every one of us should be asking that question. That's so good.
Yeah, because it's going to unlock that creativity.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, it's a great one for sure. And then, you know, how can we optimize our operational processes to increase efficiency and reduce costs?
Mm, you know, that's another really good question for right now.
Right. I mean, there's so many things. How can we enhance our customer experience?
Mm.
Basically, like, how can or what if it was possible? I mm-hmm. love the what if it was possible. Opens people's mind to not immediately say no. Like, I had a meeting with a group of the big team megas in our market center.
Mm-hmm.
And we got together and said, what if it was possible for us to work together to solve a problem that we all have? What if we had a centralized Ooh. Recruiting source? Or what if we had this? And so many people in the room were like, well, that won't work and that won't work. And I said, well, that's great. And what if it were possible? Mm. What would that world look like to help facilitate
Everybody.
True creativity and brainstorming? Was really helpful. Another question that I really, really love to get them to think strategically, and it works for any situation, is if I wasn't here, what would you do?
Oh, that's so good. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's so good.
I think Diane was the first person that I heard say that. And it allows you to see what they think. It allows mm-hmm. you, and as the leader, you need to listen to that answer. And like, if it's 80% right, then you need to say, yes, go. Because that builds their confidence that they can handle things.
Yeah. And if they're not confident in their decision-making, you are still always one conversation away from every single decision that gets made in the organization. And, you know, Tiffany, to your experience and to mine, and we'll probably do a podcast together on this at some point, like, we've been long-distance leaders for parts of the year for multiple years now, which means that our leaders and our organizations have to be empowered and able to really think strategically and make decisions without us being involved on a day-to-day basis right next to them. And it's very freeing when you get to a point of trust with your leadership, and you've done it with multiple leaders too on training and growing them and facilitating that trust. And I love that question, especially if you're trying to grow people into not needing you all the time. I mean, that's just awesome. What would you do? What would you do if I wasn't here? That's great. I love that. So then the third part of these questions is the coaching question part of this. And coaching, I think, sometimes sounds like therapy, which it can be, but coaching also really is designed for three things. Coaching brings curiosity to the table. Coaching brings compassion to the table. Or coaching brings courage to the table to point a light at something that maybe nobody wants to admit or nobody wants to talk about, but needs to be talked about. So some of these questions we're going to give you are going to be in those three veins, either curiosity, compassion, or courage, all three of which are, I know I've had some amazing business coaches over the years, and sometimes they hit you with a question square in between the eyes that you don't want to answer yet, but really is the question that needs to be answered. Yeah. So that's a huge thing. Yes. Totally agree with you on that. So, you know, one of the first things whenever you're going into a good session, right, is a coach is going to ask you, what do you want to achieve today? Or what do you hope to achieve with our conversation today? It's a great one to set the tone that you clearly understand what the other person sitting across the table or across the Zoom from you needs help with. So let them get it out, right? What do you hope to achieve today? When they get into a problem, they're like, I have this problem, or I'm in crisis, or I have these issues, right? There's some things you can ask. One that I personally love is, okay, thank you for sharing with me this problem. What part did you play in the situation that you're currently experiencing? What ownership do you have in this problem right now? That's number one, right? Because we have to be self-aware and we have to be self-led. So we have to be aware of where our problems are. And if your people aren't yet, it's a great growth opportunity for them. Another good question if they have problems are like, what strategies have you tried before and what were the results from that?
That's great. Because it makes them reflect.
Yeah. You want, like, we know that a lot of our learning is done in the past, amazingly enough, when we look back, right? That's how we learn and grow forward. And so if they're not reflecting back on where that problem is to start, the growth is going to be a lot slower because they're probably going to make this mistake a couple more times. So the more you can get, you're not trying to punish them and making them relive whatever the problem is over and over again, right? We're not trying to be like, relive your problem. But what we are trying to do is learn from it and grow and fail forward through it so that we don't have that same problem again. Another one that I like with that one is, like, if someone's really stuck and not accomplishing their goal and they're really, like, you can see their actions aren't matching the goal that they're wanting to have. My coach gave me this last week and I thought it was so good, which was, when was the last time you had great success at something and what was the cost to get there?
Ooh.
And she reminded me, she said, remember, all great successes come at a cost. It's just a matter of what you're willing to do to get there. So if you can remind them of a time they've had a really great success and the actions they had to take to get there, it might help them realize that this is that same scenario again, and there's going to be something they're going to have to give up. Maybe comfort, maybe time, maybe, right, like discipline. Yeah. It could be something, a habit, but they're going to have to do something to get there. And I thought, oh, that's so good. That's so good. So I thought that one was a really good one. And then there's a couple too of like when you're moving the needle forward. And so one as a coach and also as a leader in their organization that I think is a really important one is to say, who can support you in reaching this goal? And are you asking for that help? Because I think oftentimes we as leaders want to do it ourselves. And so I think that that's a really good one. And Jay and Gary gave us one that I couldn't not include in here, right? Which is, what's the one thing, such by doing, everything else becomes easier or unnecessary. So that's also a really good one to get in on. And then,
That was a mind-blowing question to me.
Yes.
Like, mind-blowing question.
Yes.
And so if you've not read The One Thing, like, you need to read that book, because the ability to focus, because I also would call that a focusing question.
Absolutely.
Like, the ability that question has to make you make a decision, a very, mm-hmm. very hard decision, mm-hmm. Is life-changing. And so, like, that, when that book came out and that question came out, like, was the best question I had probably ever heard in my life. So I cannot encourage you to read that enough if that is a new question to you.
I love that. And then, you know, getting into the solutions mode with someone too, I also love the questions of, what are your strengths that can help you overcome this challenge? Because sometimes we're just hitting our head against the wall and we don't realize the door is right next to us. Mm-hmm. We just need to look at it differently. And so, you know, Tiffany, to your point, and how do you inspire creativity to think about a solution differently than we've been doing? I love even just revisiting our strengths to say, like, okay, where do we need to be in the strength zone to get that together too? So that's always awesome.
Yep. One of my favorite questions, or favorite or most annoying, you know, they're kind of the same.
They're
the
same. When
somebody asks you a really good question, it's usually pretty obnoxious because you're going to have to think about something you didn't necessarily want to think about. But when I was coaching with Josh Stern, he this was a question he used so that "I don't know" never became a sentence. Ooh. So when someone says, "I don't know," like, what are my strengths in this situation? You know, you ask them, how could you use your strengths in this situation? "I don't know." The follow-up question to that is, if you did know, what would it be? So anytime someone says, "I don't know," as an answer to one of these questions, whether it's in coaching or probing or strategic, and somebody says, "I don't know," this question basically pushes it back on them, because when they say, "I don't know," they're trying to hand you back the problem.
Yeah.
And this question hands it back to them, which is, if you did know, what would it be?
Awesome.
And that's, it forces so good. You to keep thinking about it.
Yeah. It doesn't let you off the hook.
So I'm not sure which category that goes into, but
that's an all category. Coaching. That's an all an category, all, probably.
An all skate question. Yeah. All skate. Use it in any category.
Yeah.
Well, and I know I've already touched on this a little bit, but you know, as you now have 30 great questions, use them on yourself too, because mm-hmm. it's important to ask your team great questions. But like Seychelle said, the learning really happens in the reflection. So we have to also lead ourselves. That's yeah. the self-leadership. You know, get a coach who asks you these questions, but also if you just sit down with a journal and these 30 questions and force yourself to answer them in a way that is not, "I don't know," like, you mm-hmm. will be so much more self-aware. And that is such a key to success. So we need to recognize that we don't have all the answers, and that our role is to guide and facilitate growth. So when you lead yourself or when you lead others, you need to make a conscious effort to yeah. pause and ask questions instead of jumping straight into providing mm-hmm. solutions.
So. And if you can't physically stop yourself from answering the question, just take notes on what they're saying instead of staring at them. Like, that is when I take notes, I'm listening, because I have to write it down. So if you need that, please feel free to steal my cheat code to slow yourself down and slow your brain down to really make sure you're thinking and listening and hearing them instead of going into action and solving, which may not be what they need. So
yeah.
just make sure you're slowing it down a little bit.
As you're going about your life, keep a note on your phone of the great questions that you hear somebody else ask. You know, listen, when you're listening to your podcast, what are the questions that interviewers use? Like, write down the ones that really you think are powerful, mm-hmm. because then you will start having your powerful list of questions too.
I love that. And if you have some favorites that weren't on here, we would love to hear from you what those are. So share them with us. You guys know how to find us on social. So go find us on Instagram or Facebook and share with us your favorite questions if we didn't include them on today, because we would love to add them to our notes on our phones too. But today, you know, I love that we got to talk about, as leaders, our self-awareness and empathy allow us to build a culture where we ask great questions, which I love. And the three different types of questions we went over today were probing, to dig for the real issue, the strategic, to help them think more strategically, and the coaching, to help them move the needle forward in another area. And when we use those personally and in our own business, when we're doing our thinking time, and when we use them with our team, we're creating a culture of creativity and collaboration and allowing our people to feel heard and a part of the solution. So I loved today, Tiff, with you, as always. So y'all go out there and live a big business and an even bigger life. Bye, guys.
Bye.